Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'm thankful that you're listening in today, and we are talking about the three tenses of salvation, if you remember, and we're going to try to make this the final, intro to the assurance of salvation, the letter A that we began lessons ago but haven't actually gotten into yet. But we have, the Bible says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, you remember. And there are three tenses of salvation, and the whole reason that we're going over this short study, hadn't been all that short, but this study is so that whenever we do talk about the assurance of salvation, whenever we read in the scriptures, and you've probably already noticed that if you've read over the scriptures that I've given you since we've been talking about this, you've noticed that the Bible does, now here's a long word, differentiate the word salvation. And it does mean different things whenever you read that word in the scriptures. It's not always talking about going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it could be talking about being saved from what? Do you remember? The penalty of sin. Sometimes it could be talking about being saved from the power of sin. And then today what we're going to talk about is the third tense of salvation, which is actually being saved from the very presence of sin. Now, what is being saved from the presence of sin? And we'll begin with that. Well, in John chapter 15 and verse 19, the Bible says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24 and 25, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now what is being saved from the very presence of sin? Well, it's being saved. The Bible says we're in the world, but not of the world. It's actually being saved from this flesh. We're actually taking this flesh goes back to the grave, and the body and my members being saved from the very presence of sin. Paul talked about sin being in the body. We have been circumcised. If you're born again, your soul and your spirit has been circumcised. It's been cut loose from your body, and your body is the only thing that is actually sinful. And it's going back to the grave where the Lord said it would. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 through 25, listen to this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Well, we've already been born again. What's it talking about waiting for it for? We've been saved from the penalty of sin. We're being saved every day and every minute from the power of sin and the temptation of sin. We talked about that, remember? Well, what's he talking about? Do we with patience wait for it? Well, we're waiting to be saved from the very presence of sin. When the Lord changes our vile bodies and fashions them like unto his glorious body, and we'll have the mind of Christ, we will be saved from the very presence of sin. Right now, we're not saved from the presence of sin. If you're listening to this, you have a vile body attached to you. You're inside there, and you're back behind them eyeballs. And you have a vile body that you're carrying around, and it is dead. It is a walking corpse. It's going back to the grave, and unless Jesus comes before we die and go back to the dirt, then we're going to surely go back to the grave. There is no discharge in that war, it says in Ecclesiastes. Every one of us is going back to the grave. But if the Lord were to come today and call us up to glory with the rapture, like what he talks about in the scriptures, then we will be changed, according to Corinthians and also according to Thessalonians. So, what is being saved from the presence of sin? Being actually changed and taken out of the presence of sin, and our bodies fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being taken out of this world. Ephesians says in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Well, what do you mean, until the redemption? I thought I was already redeemed. Well, both are true. You are already redeemed, but you have not yet been saved from the very presence of sin in that part of your redemption. You see the difference? There is a difference. So you have to watch when you're reading the scriptures what the scriptures are talking about. Because if somebody didn't know that there were three parts of salvation, then they read that and it would kind of confuse them, wouldn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Okay, so what is being saved from the power of or the presence of sin we talked about? Now, when am I saved from the presence of sin? The Bible says that we're saved from the very presence of sin at the end of our faith. It says, at the last trump, we will be saved from the presence of sin. It's called the rapture that we'll be saved from the presence of sin. The Bible calls it catching away. At the catching away, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. And at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved from the very presence of sin. You see, the Bible has verses that it does talk about that very thing. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 58, it says, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat and of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and one glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they all also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now that ought to tell you a little secret right there. What does the Bible say about, it says flesh and blood can't be inherited, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. There are some things that aren't allowed in heaven. We'll talk about that more in some of our future study. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now here's the part where we're talking about, remember what we're talking about. When am I saved from the presence of sin? Behold, I show you a mystery. If you're reading along, we shall not all sleep, talking about being dead and in the grave, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. You see, we have hope and we have so much to look forward to. We're not just saved from hell and saved from the wrath of God, which is very important to me and very important to you, and we should be thankful for that every day. But we're also being saved every day. The Lord has not only provided us security that we're going to be with Him and not in hell, but He's also provides us salvation from the power of sin daily by keeping us from temptation and keeping us from dangers and keeping us from where sin can bring forth death in us, you see. Also, He is saving us from the very present, going to come and save us from the very presence of sin. We have that promise to look forward to. Now, one other. When am I saved from the presence of sin? Well, the Bible tells us the end of our, we just did that one, didn't we? Let's move to the next one. Well, we talked about that. Let me read you one other verse in that. When am I saved from the presence of sin, excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And when the Bible talks about sleep, it doesn't mean soul sleep, because your soul never goes in the grave. Your soul goes to be with the Lord. Your body goes into the grave, and the Bible is referring to it being asleep because it's going to be resurrected. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, there's your authority, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You're not going to stop the people from coming out of the graves because you're alive when the Lord comes. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. How about that, huh? When shall we be saved from the presence of sin? At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of our faith, at the last trump, at the rapture, at the catching away. Okay, let's look at another one. Now, how am I saved from the presence of sin? Well, the Bible says that the process, we just read part of it in the scriptures, but how we're saved from the presence of sin is completely extracted from sin altogether. We're completely taken out of here. The Lord is the only one that has the power to do that. We can't escape sin. We can avoid it, and we can deny it, and we can turn from it and turn away from it and resist it and cling to the Lord. But we can't completely get away from sin altogether. We don't have the power to do that. But the Lord does. The Lord is going to completely extract us from sin altogether. He's going to change our vile bodies. He's going to take our soul completely out of the presence of sin altogether, and our spirit will go along with it. At the catching away, at the rapture, during Jesus' return. Now, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 50, and it says, now, remember that? Now, this I say then, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then we went on down through there, and it said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, how does it get any simpler than that? I mean, it says it right there, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, completely take us out of here and extract us from this present evil world. Okay, it says, according to the will of God and our Father. It's God the Father's will for us not to be down here in this mess. And it's up to God. That it says the Lord Jesus Christ himself doesn't even know when we're going to be taken out. But God the Father knows. And one day he's going to tell the Lord Jesus to come and get us. And he's going to come get his bride. And if you're born again, you're part of that body. You're part of the bride. And you're going out of here. You're going to be completely extracted from sin altogether, from the very presence of sin. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's one other verse there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. The Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, wait a minute. You mean I'm not saved until Jesus comes back? According to that verse, it says so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You mean I don't get saved till the Lord comes? No, that's not what the verse is saying. You see the difference? It says that he's going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's going to be the completion of our salvation, where the Lord completely takes us out altogether from the presence of sin. All right, and one more here. Let's look at it. The presence of sin. Who has control over the presence of sin? Who has control over it? Well, the Bible says the Holy Father does. And that's not the way the Catholics use it. The Bible actually uses the word Holy Father. The Lord Jesus Christ called him Holy Father, remember? The Holy Father is the one that completely takes us, has control over taking us and saving us from the presence of sin. The Righteous Father, the Bible calls him, takes us, and you can find these words, Holy Father and Righteous Father, in John chapter 17. And if you know your Bible, you know John chapter 17 is the real Lord's Prayer. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ actually prayed for us. He prayed to His Father for us. You want to see where Jesus prayed for you? Read John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Psalm chapter 23 is a good verse, but that wasn't written to Gentiles. It was written to the Jews. It was written to the Jews. And Jesus would have never prayed that prayer because the prayer says, Our Father. Well, Jesus, Our Father which art in heaven. Well, Jesus wouldn't have never prayed that because when the Bible says, well, let me get on with this right here first, and then I'll explain that to you. The Bible says, who has control over saving us from the presence of sin? The Holy Father, Righteous Father, the Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, the Righteous, the Bible says. Now, let me share some scripture with you just to show you that that's... I'm going to read this to you in John chapter 17. It says, These words spake Jesus, and lift up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Now, what hour is he talking about? He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about his appointment to pay for your sins that the Father had sent him for. He said, Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Now, what did the Bible say? I pray for them. And he says, I pray not for the world. Did you get that? Jesus made a specific statement there. He said he was not praying for the world or the world system or the people that wanted to be in the world. He was praying for us, the ones that believed on him and received his word. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Now there's security for your salvation. Jesus said none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, talking about Judas Iscariot, remember, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, now here it comes, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You got a Bible? You got a Bible that has Paul's words in it? You got a Bible that has Peter's words in it? You got a Bible that has John's words in it? You got a Bible that has Mark's words, Luke's words? Do you? Okay, then you have the words, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You have Jesus Christ's word through the written word that were inspired through those men, God's word inspired through those men. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and they may be perfect, made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I'm glad God loves us, aren't you? I'm glad the Father loves us, aren't you? I'm glad that Jesus loves us, aren't you? Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, now listen to this, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, there's the righteous Father, and the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. A lot of scripture, but a wonderful, beautiful prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for you and prayed for me. You say the three tenses of salvation, saved from the presence of sin. Who has control over the presence of sin? Well, who did Jesus say just had control over it? The Heavenly Father has control over it, doesn't He? And the Lord Jesus Christ has control over it. And of course, we know that God the Holy Ghost, the earnest of our inheritance that dwells in us, has control over it. Now, one more verse about that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto salvation. What do you mean looking for Him? Well, that's what we're doing. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Remember? Okay, so there we go. Now we're talking about the three tenses of salvation. Now let's just briefly recap this thing. And then next recording, we're going to actually start on the assurance of salvation and talk to one another and study the scriptures about what they say concerning the assurance of your salvation, what God thinks about it, what He wants you to think about it, and how we can know that we're saved and have assurance of it, and why it's important to have assurance. So, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Now do you see it a little different than you did before when we started? I mean, I'm the best teacher in the world, but the scriptures are, and God the Holy Ghost is. But do you understand it now? We're not only saved from hell, but we are saved from temptation and saved from the power of sin daily. And by God the Holy Ghost in us and working through us and in us, and the Word of God working in us daily as we read it, the Word of God lives, the Bible says. It liveth and abideth forever. And then we're not only saved from the penalty of sin, the first tense of salvation, we're saved from the power of sin, the second tense of salvation. But what we talked about today, saved from the presence of sin. The presence of sin. So there we go. Now, let me give you these scriptures, and you got your pencil there. We'll go ahead and do that, and I'll give those to you, and I'll try to give you scriptures after every one of them. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. And, well, I say I'm ready. I'm having a little trouble here. we're talking about the presence of sin. There we go. Excuse me. It's kind of embarrassing. Okay. Something not working right here in my notes. Okay, here we go. The presence of sin. You ready? John chapter 15, verse 19. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 25. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. And remember, I told you these run in order, remember? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 58. Okay. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 50 through 58. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Next is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. And then what we read, the prayer, remember what that was, Jesus' prayer? John chapter 17. Yep. And then we also went back over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 again. So there you go. All right, and talking about our study on the three tenses or the assurance of salvation. You know, Satan's going to try to get you to doubt your salvation, and that's why we're going to go into this, and we're going to talk about it completely and thoroughly, and talk about the scriptures and what God says in the scriptures, so we know what we can believe and what we should not believe. We're going to talk about what is meant by the assurance of salvation. Why do I need assurance of salvation? We're going to talk about what the basis of our salvation, the assurance of our salvation is. Remember, we talked about that. And how may I know that I am saved? Because it's God's will for you to know that you're saved. And what brings assurance of salvation into my life? Are there things that bring assurance of salvation? Sure there is. What happens if I sin? That has to do with the assurance of my salvation. Can I ever lose my salvation? Okay. Well, we're going to talk about all that stuff, and we're going to start the next recording. So you be sure to listen and be ready to take notes and to learn, and we'll learn together. Okay. So the Lord be with you, and thank you for listening to me. I hope I didn't confuse you, and you have a wonderful evening. God bless you. Bye bye.